All right, this is Forward Motion, Session 2, The Walk. Every once in a while, I go through these seasons where I really want to work out and, you know, get buff and all of that stuff. I go through these seasons where I'm really into working out and I'm really excited about it. And then I'm in those seasons where, which is more than not, I just don't have the time to work out, which more or less really means that I just don't want to make the time to do it because I just have so much on my plate all the time. In any case, a couple of months ago, I went to LA Fitness and I got a membership there and I got a personal trainer to help me out on my first day. You know, he went through all these different goals and, you know, what do you want to do? And I'm kind of like, well, you know, I'd really love to be about 150 pounds, but I also kind of want to have a lot of muscle and be built. You know, I really didn't know where I wanted to go with it. So I decided to just kind of go with the flow. I gave him a couple of the goals I wanted to do, and we got into the session. Well, as we started going through all these, you know, bicep workouts or whatever you want to call it, it was great. I felt the burn, as they say, and it felt good to get back into the gym and work out again. But the problem was the very next day I could not lift my arms. In fact, I could not lift my arms for about 2 weeks after that. So basically, I didn't go back. I didn't like the atmosphere there, but that's not the point. The point is that we all have ideas and goals for where we want to be in our spiritual walk. You know, we all have, some of us may not be Christians, or some of us may be Christians, but we don't really know what it looks like to actually, you know, walk the walk. We don't know what it looks like to do the things that we feel that we're supposed to do. The quote I want to use is that we have no idea of how we want to get to where we want to be. The steps that my trainer provided showed me that the steps are necessary. You know, I just don't work out one night and wake up the next looking like, you know, The Rock or Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was at his prime. It takes steps. And so chances are when it comes to these different areas of our lives, we have an idea where we want to be, but we don't know how to get there. You know, for our spiritual lives, it's, you know, reading the Bible. You know, how do we pray when we can barely focus on something for 5 minutes? You know, maybe at school, it's, you know, being on the honor roll, or for sports, it's being on the first team or being in your favorite position. You know, for Ben, it would be making the best brownies on the face of the planet, which I think we can all say he is already there. But the point of it is that it takes time and it takes steps to get to where we want to be. So we begin asking these questions. How do we do the things that we think a Christian should do? You know, how do we read the Bible? How do we pray? How do we become like Jesus when we feel that we're so far away from the ideal? You know, how do we get from where we are to where we want to be? Last week we talked about what it looks like to have some of these different goals in mind. And, you know, obviously taking one large step is great, but usually you run out of the adrenaline and the hype after a couple steps after that. Taking small steps, realistic and practical steps, are the way to go. And so that's where we finished off last week. And the problem, though, it seems to be that the problem is when it comes to our spiritual lives, you know, to the way that we want to connect with Jesus and the way we want to connect with others, we aren't really even sure what those first steps look like. Practical example, when you learn to swim, you know, you didn't just get dropped into the pool to sink or swim, right? Because there's a 50-50 chance that when you get dropped into a pool, you're either going to swim or you're going to sink. You know, you had to go through those annoying steps of actually liking to get into the water. And then, you know, you had to put on those little stupid floaty things. And, you know, those things were annoying and whatnot, but they were all steps that we had to take in order to actually swim. Michael Phelps, prime example. He didn't just start swimming one day. I mean, there were steps. There were steps that he had to take. There were a lot of exercises and a lot of practices that he had to go to and make the effort to do in order to be the most highly decorated Olympian in our time. So, where do we go from here? In some ways, we have to look at Jesus. I guess in some ways is a bad example. In all the ways, we should be looking to Jesus. And when we read Jesus' words, we see that he gives us a helper. You know, the helper is the Holy Spirit. When we turn to John 16, he talks so much about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for us. Why? Well, at this point, Jesus is coming to his final hours. He's about to be betrayed. There isn't a lot of time left. He's at the Last Supper with his disciples, and things are about to go down. And he realizes that these disciples, these apostles, they needed to know what the Holy Spirit was. Because if they didn't know who the Holy Spirit was, they would not have operated properly during the next couple of months and years of their lives. So we come to this point in John 16, 13, where Jesus says, "When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth." And really, the timing is perfect. You know, obviously, like I've said, these next few days and years, so many circumstances and situations come up that unless they had the Spirit, they would have not have been able to operate properly. The problem, I think, is that the language and the idea of the Holy Spirit is kind of foreign to us. You know, we don't normally go around asking people, "Hey, you know, what's the Spirit up to in your life today?" Although I fully believe it should be. You know, if you are with your fellow Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ, you should be asking them, keeping them accountable. You know, what is the Spirit doing for you this week? You know, what is the Lord speaking to you? How are your devotions? Those should be practical things that we do every day, but we don't. So I would encourage you guys to make sure that you're helping your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, let's look at Paul in his letters to Corinth. Paul described the process of the Holy Spirit as kind of like a deposit for us. In 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, Paul says this: "It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, he set his seal of ownership on us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." What is to come? Our salvation. What is to come? The resurrection. Our life in heaven. Our life of spending eternity with Jesus. He put a seal on us for that time to come. And then again, Paul says it again in 2 Corinthians 5:5. "It is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." The Holy Spirit is the helper who lives in each and every one of the Christ followers here on earth. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth of who we are, and he leads us into the truth of who God is. He leads us in the truth of our sinfulness, and he leads us into the truth of who we can become. He leads us into all truth. And what is the truth? Jesus says this about you: "You're valuable, you're mine, and you don't have to live this life alone. I'm with you. And I am leaving the Holy Spirit with you in order for you to have a personal guide who will take you from where you want to be. From where you are to where you want to be." Jesus knew that when his followers were going through the things that they were dealing with, you know, loving the enemies, he was asking some big stuff. He raised the bar high. And Jesus knew that trying to do it all on our own would be like leaping across the Grand Canyon. And we all know we would fail miserably. So in order for us to get to where God wants us to be, where he desires us to be, we need a trainer. And that trainer is the Holy Spirit. You know, unlike a trainer at the gym who, you know, comes and goes and he's not really there, he's not really available, you may only see him an hour a day. The Holy Spirit's with you all, always, at all times, in every situation. He lives inside of you. I just want you to take a second and realize that, you know, the Holy Spirit is not somebody who is far off. The Holy Spirit is not just kind of this thing. The Holy Spirit is God. You know, we believe in the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I just want you to take a second and realize that if you are a Christ follower, God is living inside of you. We're more than just a house for the Holy Spirit. He's at work in us and he transforms us. And I love this passage in Exodus. It talks about who God really is. We hear a lot of things all the time about God is this and God is that. And we hear a lot of things in the Old Testament how God's kind of this like evil, mighty, powerful, annoying God. And then Jesus comes and is like, it's okay. I'm here. I'm going to save you. But this is what it says in Exodus 34. I love this passage. God says this about himself to Moses. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. These verses describe the character of God, and it also describes the character of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who develops us. We can take a step in the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading, or we can take a step in the direction of the opposite direction. But we always have to know that we have to go closer to God. That is our main goal. Our main goal, our general goal, is always to grow closer to God. You know, some people get there at different times. I don't believe anybody actually reaches the point of perfection here on earth. But we always have a goal. We may reach that goal, but we always have another goal right after that. And the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us and shows us how to do those things. The Holy Spirit is the one that's working for the entirety of our lives to develop us. You know, when you meet somebody who is just passionately, completely sold out for Christ, you notice a couple things about them. You notice that they're a lot more forgiving. You notice that they are a lot more humble than other people. Why? Because they realize that their sin is just, it's huge. They recognize the weight of their sin, and they also recognize that God is gracious and forgiving. And for us, the Holy Spirit leads us into that idea of sin in our lives, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us in all truth and all understanding. Everyone wants to change, you know. Everyone wants to be different and improve of who they already are. But Jesus Christ is the only one who can offer that in a complete way, a way that makes us spiritually whole. We have a lot of different ways of attaining these steps in our own lives, physically or mentally. You know, we have vitamins, we have, you know, these crazy pills that'll help us lose weight quickly and all of that stuff, but that's not real. A lot of people call it McDonald's church nowadays because we come to church and we experience God, but we just kind of want the quick version of it. You know, we don't want to sit down and actually pursue. I like the word pursue. We don't sit down and we don't pursue the calling of God on our lives. We have to make those steps to find out what God desires for us. Each and every one of us is different. Not one of you has been made on this planet to do the exact same thing and know the exact same people and minister to the exact same people as somebody else. Even your wife or your husband or your spouse or your best friend, they have different people in their lives that they minister and disciple. You were created for a purpose. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will lead you into that purpose. The goal is to step into something new and to step forward. And when we do this step by step, we create forward motion into becoming someone different, into becoming someone that the Bible calls a new creation. And that's where I want to end today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in a new if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. What is the next step that God wants you to take? And where is he calling you to move? I want you to ask yourselves these questions. I want you to ask yourselves these other questions. You know, are you willing to take that step forward? And what kind of step are you willing to take? If you take a step forward today, I want you to know that God's not expecting you to be perfect. God's not expecting you to become this crazy super Christian right away. Some, it might happen. Others, not so much. But the Lord recognizes those steps that you're taking every single day. It's all about steps, guys. I can't emphasize that enough. It's all about walking out the Christian life, knowing that you're going to fail, you are going to sin, but the Lord is right there with you. Remember the story of Peter last week when Peter started to sink. He cried out for the Lord, and the Lord met him right exactly where he was at. Jesus loves you, guys. Take that next step forward as we go into that time of worship, as you seek out the Lord tonight. Find out what he desires of you and find out what is the next step that you want to take.